this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
All right, guys, welcome to Bell Ringer. Thank you very much to Marquis Grant for that intro music that is still hopefully playing underneath my voice right now. Today on the podcast, we have Christina Orsi. Very illustrious career in economic development. We go step by step through it from grad school up until where she is now at UB with a pit stop here at Invest Buffalo Niagara, then Buffalo Niagara Enterprise. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Great conversation. And I will see you at the outro. All right. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So for those that don't know, let's take the listeners through your background in economic development, kind of your resume.
Sure. I've had the opportunity to spend my career in economic development in the Buffalo area. I went to UB for graduate school in urban planning and public policy, and after that worked for the Buffalo Niagara Partnership, more doing public policy work, government relations. And then at the time it was called Buffalo Niagara Enterprise, now Invest Buffalo Niagara, but when it was formed, I had the opportunity to be part of the original leadership team to get Invest Buffalo Niagara up and running, and spent a number of years working with the great team here to help bring new business to the area. And then after that, I was recruited by New York State's Economic Development Division, Empire State Development, to lead their regional office, and spent about 8 years doing that and continued to work very closely with Invest Buffalo Niagara on supporting new businesses coming to the area. We also got a lot more involved in retention, expansion of existing businesses, and a lot more in startup activity, workforce development, and community development. So that was more of a holistic approach to economic development. And then most recently, I joined the University of Buffalo to lead their industry and business partnerships.
Yesterday, I was prepping a little bit for the interview, so I was asking Jenna some questions or for some advice, and I had this whole note sheet, and then I go and I checked your LinkedIn page, and she forgot to mention that you worked here for 9 years.
I was
that's a pretty glaring omission.
Yeah, yes.
So you've obviously had a very successful and dynamic career in economic development. What got you so interested in it? Maybe it goes back to your graduate studies.
Yeah, I mean, it did start with, frankly, the opportunity I had when I was at UB graduate school. I had the opportunity to be an intern with the Buffalo Niagara Partnership. And so that just exposed me to so much of what was going on in the community, from a business development standpoint, from a public policy standpoint, from a regulatory environment. And one of the early projects I got to be involved in was a regional visioning. What do we want our community to be? What do we want it to look like? And I think through that exposure, I learned that it's really important to me that I get my satisfaction out of seeing progress in our community. So I think that's why my career has continued in the path of sort of economic development, because I want to be able to make an impact, a positive impact on our community.
What kind of mentors did you find along the way in economic development? It's somewhat of a narrow field compared to, business in general or something like that. So maybe who are your mentors and how do you find them, or, how do you pick those?
Yeah, and I certainly didn't grow up, or even when I was going to college, thinking, oh, I want to be in economic development. I don't even think I was really conscious of what that was as a career, right? So my path ultimately led me there. But along the way, I worked with a lot of phenomenal people. And again, because of the opportunity I had both at the Buffalo Niagara Partnership and Buffalo Niagara Enterprise, their board of directors are made up of business leaders from across the community. So at really a very young age in my career, I had exposure to CEOs and leaders in the community that probably most people don't get to. And so really through being able to kind of have the opportunity to sit at a table with them and observe, just through that, I learned a lot. certainly working alongside leaders from Tom Kucharski at Buffalo Niagara Enterprise, Andrew Rudnick before that, learned a lot from each of them. Pat Rehak probably was one of my first woman mentors. She was an executive vice president at the Buffalo Niagara Partnership at a time where there really weren't that many women in very high profile leadership positions in our community. So to be able to really work closely with her, I think reinforced for me the confidence in women being able to take leadership roles in our community. And then really through Empire State Development, I had the opportunity to work really closely with Howard Zemsky in a volunteer position. He was our regional economic development co-chair and learned a tremendous amount, you know, from him about collaborative leadership style, sort of servitude leadership, which I think has served me very well in building long and lasting partnerships with organizations to all move in the same direction.
So what are some challenges you think, or have you experienced any challenges as a woman in a somewhat male-dominated field? Or, you know, maybe there's been progress, but you mentioned that it used to not be, you know, as even cut. What are some of those challenges?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I directly ever felt limited because of it. And I think, frankly, that's because people like Andrew Rudnick at a very, you know, when I was young and early age, gave me the opportunity to do things like lead basically a team of volunteer executives on like a financial review of the Buffalo Public Schools. So they gave me opportunities, and then I, of course, demonstrated my capabilities. And so I never really did feel limited by that, frankly, but it is a reality still to this day that women and minorities, in particular minorities in our community, are not yet equal positions across organizations, boards. And one of the things that I'm working on right now, I serve with the Community Foundation on a racial equity roundtable to try to address what can we do from systemic policy, programmatic changes to ensure that the great prosperity that's coming to our community and the growth, that everyone in every corner of our community has an opportunity to participate in that.
So what would your advice be to someone that maybe hasn't been given those leadership opportunities, especially at a young age like you were given, that, you know, they need to, they might have not have that opportunity, they might have different hurdles to go over?
I mean, I would say reach out. Do try to find people who are willing to mentor you, help make connections. I think one of the great ways to help get experience is if you're willing to serve on a board, a nonprofit organization, the connections you make, what you learn through that experience. And frankly, I'm on a number of nonprofit boards. We're always looking for really good, just dedicated people who are willing to spend some time and give up some of their time. So I think that's a great way for folks to get engaged in the community and maybe demonstrate that they have an interest and a willingness. Making connections and relationships through that.
So you mentioned you were recruited from Empire State Development, and that was right around the time that the Cuomo administration was starting. Is that correct?
No, it was actually when Governor Spitzer had just come in. So it was before Cuomo. I was there through Governor Cuomo's first term, but actually went to ESD before that. And then once Governor Cuomo came on, one of the things that he did that was really great, historically, decision-making and economic development at the state was very centralized in Albany, and it was also sort of one-size-fits-all, right? There were programs that were rolled out that were uniform across the state. And what that didn't recognize is that New York State is very different. I mean, the North Country in a very, you know, beautiful rural community is very different from the Buffalo-Niagara Falls area, which is very different from, you know, Long Island or New York City. And so when Governor Cuomo came in, he implemented the Regional Economic Development Councils, and it was a complete shift in the way economic development was done on a state level from centralize one size fits all, to decentralize to the regions, should know their communities best, understand their challenges and their opportunities, and build strategies around those. And then the state should support those strategies by guiding investments into those strategic areas. And so I was able to serve as the director of the Regional Economic Development Council in Western New York. And the other thing that it did that was very different than what I experienced before is historically a lot of decision making was made by people who were not diverse. It was generally, you know, a group of leaders in the community that led large businesses. And the Regional Economic Development Councils very intentionally engaged people from academia, nonprofit, community-based organizations, small businesses, large businesses, labor, to really bring all different perspectives to the table. And I think that's part of the strength of what came out of that, because finally you had all these different constituents that maybe didn't historically work together or agree, developing a strategic plan with one voice and then working together to move it forward.
And you were also there during the beginnings of the Buffalo Billion, right?
Yes. Yes, so the Regional Economic Development Council started, and then a year later, Governor Cuomo made the announcement and commitment that he was going to invest $1 billion in Buffalo, in part based on a really good strategic plan that our region came together and developed and supported. And I think he started to see that the region was working together, and that we had a lot of opportunity, but we just hadn't had the sort of focus from the state and the resources. So we then, building on the original strategic plan that we had put together, we had the opportunity to work with consulting firms to help us take a deeper dive and develop a specific Buffalo Billion Investments strategic plan. And then my role was overseeing a number, some of those Buffalo Billion local initiatives, things that came out of it, like 43 North, Buffalo Manufacturing Works, the Better Buffalo Fund, now soon to open the Northland Training Center. So a lot of good major initiatives focused around really enabling strategies in our work.
So being a leader on the ground at that time, what was morale like with, you know, you seem impressed by the regional council development and you were pleased with that, and then this Buffalo Billion was exciting people publicly. You know, what was morale like in the economic development community and with the general public?
Well, I think before that, I can tell you personally, I felt like we were always trying to play catch up in economic development, like we were just trying to stop a leaky bucket, right? We had had decades of population decline and economic decline, and I felt like we were always trying to just stop the decline. And for the first time, at least in my career and experience in the Buffalo Niagara region, I felt like we finally shifted that paradigm. We're really, we now, there was just a lot more optimism. There was a strategic plan. There was alignment around that plan. And frankly, there was tremendous resource allocation from the governor's commitment to move that forward. And so I just saw this huge shift from, you know, trying to just stop the losses to we can actually really grow. And what's been amazing is in, I don't know, something like, what, a six-year period since this started, you know, for the first time, we actually saw in our census growth in 18 to 35-year-old population. That is a great indicator for our region. Young people have to stay and want to come here you know, be part of our community and raise their families here. You know, job growth is on the rise, wages are going up. So all the indicators are starting to move in the right direction. And I think as a result, there's a renewed optimism. And the other thing that was always, you know, that was really encouraging to me is the public investments were very focused and strategic, but with the intent, you know, that they would ultimately leverage and build the confidence in the private investment. And now you've seen that from whether it's, you know, development downtown to, you know, you can look all around Buffalo and turn any corner and see another historic building being privately redeveloped, right? And I think that's because of the confidence, the growing demand of the marketplace, more people wanting to live in the city. And it was always a particularly encouraging to me when I actually saw developments that had no public subsidy, because that really means the marketplace is not working.
Right. So at the time when all of this was being introduced, were you aware of the impact that it was having and that you on the ground were having?
To a degree, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you're always thinking about what, you know, you're trying to continue to move things forward, right? And what do we need to get done? And we need to move this major initiative forward. So I still focused on very much implementation, which is ongoing. But at the same time, you could just feel and see the visual signs of redevelopment, as well as just optimism in the way that people started to talk about Buffalo. And then, you know, frankly, getting some national headlines that, you know, talked about Buffalo's coming back, Buffalo on the rise. So, yeah, there absolutely, I started to see and feel that we are on a really, really good upward trajectory, and now we need to continue kind of down that path of the strategy that we put in place and, you know, ensuring that we build on this momentum to accelerate it, and as I said, and ensure that we do it in a way that we provide opportunities for everyone in our community to benefit from the growth.
So now you've moved over to the University at Buffalo. How long have you been there?
It's been just over 2.5 years. And again, when I was at the Regional Economic Development Council, along with Howard, the co-chair was Satish Tripathi, the president of UB. So he was a key leader through that entire regional council planning and implementation. You know, through that experience, I got to know him and see what a tremendously valuable resource the University of Buffalo is to our community, from, you know, the number of students that they educate and graduate and go on to be part of our skilled workforce, to the technology development that they're doing and spinning out of the university, to the research capabilities that they have that our local industry can tap into to support their own research and development. And, you know, really through him being the co-chair, I got an opportunity to see and learn more about the university's role in economic development, which is really important, and that struck me as, you know, a great place to be able to continue to further the impact on our community.
You talked about one of the key indicators of Buffalo Niagara's success is that 18 to 30 demographic population increase. How much of that is a driver for you to, or a motivation for you to move to a university where that age, you know, people are coming into that age group?
Yeah, I don't know that that was specifically a driver, but I can say being on a university campus, there is such an energy level there that you really don't experience anywhere else. And at first I thought, oh, I'm going to feel so old all of these very young people, but you don't. It really, you kind of build off of their energy. And it's just amazing to me, you know, how many of them have an interest in starting their own businesses. Like we have Blackstone Launchpad on our campus, which is really kind of a focal point. If you're a student and you have an idea and you're thinking, I don't know how to start a business, but maybe I want to, but I have this idea, it's kind of the central place you can go and get coaching and mentoring and support to help you ultimately if that's your pathway to start your own business. If not, then you're at least learning about, you know, innovation and entrepreneurship. And so to see the number of students who are interested in that and who want to work with startups or maybe start their own business is really exciting. And I mean, that's just not anything when I was going to college I would have even thought about, you know, at 20 years old, oh, maybe I could start my own business. So it's really a very dynamic environment. It does give me a tremendous amount of optimism. We certainly engage students in our own work as interns, and then another part of a lot of what our team does is, because we're the liaison with industry, is we try to connect students with companies to provide them with, you know, internship or other practical experience, with the intent that if the students learn more about what business, it's a valuable part of their learning experience, but also it starts to expose them more to what's going on in Buffalo and what the opportunities are, which increases the likelihood that they will stay here and work after graduation in the marketplace.
So whether it be 43 North with your Buffalo Billion background, or you know, you just talked about at UB, the launch pad for students, how have you seen that entrepreneurial spirit in the region increase over the last, 5 to 10 years?
I have to say, I think that's been one of the biggest changes. I can't really recall, 15 years ago, that there was very much going on in the sort of entrepreneur startup ecosystem. UB actually had an incubator. I think it started about 25 years ago. And so there were some companies that were started and supported and grew out of that, but nothing like the level of activity and interest that we see today in startups. And I do attribute a big portion of that to 43 North, because I think that they brought a whole new level of attention to entrepreneurship, because it was so high profile in our community and nationally around the business plan competition, and it built so much excitement. And I think it sent the message to people like, you can do this. If you have an idea, pitch it. And, seeing people successfully winning and moving forward, I think that combined with, Z80 Labs had started a couple of years before that was focused on supporting IT. Launch New York started that was providing support services to entrepreneurs across upstate. UB got Blackstone and then opened another incubator downtown and started to increase its support for technology startups. So I think there were a number of things that were sort of all starting or expanding to support entrepreneurship at the same time. And then, sort of just the amount of attention that 43 North brought to it really kind of built this groundswell of interest in entrepreneurship. And I think one of the things that our community had to do was, I would say historically our community was relatively conservative and somewhat risk averse, and so I don't think it supported entrepreneurship, and that it didn't support failure. And that is a part of startup, right? A high percent of them fail. The few that go on to be successful can have a tremendous impact on our economy. But if you're not willing to tolerate that risk profile and say, yeah, we understand that some might fail, a lot might fail, and we understand that maybe a CEO had 2 failures, that doesn't mean they're a failure. That means they took all of that great experience and are going to put it into maybe their 3rd startup, and that's the one that's going to be successful. And in other economies, where you see real entrepreneur depth, whether it's Boston or Silicon Valley, the risk profile, I think it's accepted, it's celebrated. It's like, oh yeah, you haven't even made it till you've had 3 failures under your belt. So that's a big transition that I think we've had to go through, that we're still going through, but I think again, we're moving in the right direction there.
So what does UB offer companies maybe in the more traditional, like, targeted industries of our region?
Yeah. So University of Buffalo, being a comprehensive university, we have an engineering school, we have a medical school, pharmacy school, dental school, law school, management school, social work. So what's interesting about that is, really, we could support almost any kind of industry partner in the community, right? Whether it's business development, strategy, management, talent through some of our programs at the management school in training there, whether it's engineering, prototype, technology development, medical device and diagnostics, clinical trials that we can do for companies developing new medical devices or pharmaceuticals. We have several centers of excellence. We have a center of excellence in bioinformatics and life sciences, and another one in materials informatics. And we have an institute of genomics, and we have our Center for Computational Research. And they're specifically set up to be the bridge between university technical expertise and capabilities and industry support and access. But because of the breadth of our technology capabilities, because we're a comprehensive university, really we can be supportive in many different industry sectors, and we are. We partner across manufacturers. As I said, medical, there's a number of very large dental companies who work very closely with our dental school, both on new developments, testing products, there's, you know, a lot of ways in which the community engages through our School of Social Work. They work a lot with nonprofits in having our graduate students work with them and helping the nonprofits and sort of some of the research and latest ways in which to impact the community they're serving. So the breadth in which the university is engaged in our community is really significant. And I think to a large degree, it's not really known because, we sort of go about our business and working with all these different community and industry organizations in many different ways.
Yeah, I think the episode that will come out right before this one that we're recording now is with Ward Thomas from Sentient Science.
Yeah.
And I did a written story on him recently, but in that and in the podcast, they credit UB. You know, they're in a University
right.
of Buffalo building, and they talk about the value that the technology and like the supercomputer
exactly.
has provided them. So
yeah.
there's a lot of different partnerships that have helped people.
There are, yeah.
So looking back generally on your career, what's the biggest turnaround that you've seen in our region? Maybe one project that has had the biggest impact. And then I'll ask you what you're most proud of. So it doesn't have to be one that you've worked on.
Oh, I honestly can't say it was one project. And the reason is, I think historically, a lot of our focus in economic development was on, if we could get that one big project, it would turn the whole community around. And I think we came to a realization that it actually is going to take a holistic approach to have sustainable economic growth. And so to me, it really wasn't one project. It was a number of things moving forward. It was the waterfront redevelopment. At the same time that the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus came together and was building, whether it's just the decision to have a new children's hospital, the new Global Vascular Institute, UB making the commitment to move its medical school downtown and grow our Center for Bioinformatics and Life Sciences. It was historic tax credits to help revitalize long vacant, abandoned, historic buildings in our community that maybe financially wouldn't have been able to be done but for some of those historic tax credits. It was Say Yes and the focus on ensuring that our kids in the Buffalo Public Schools all have an opportunity to go to college and they get the support system to go to college if they choose that as their pathway. It was, the Buffalo Billion and the governor making a huge commitment and the confidence he showed in our community, I think helped people here have a confidence in our community. It was the Pakulas buying the Sabres and the Bills and committing they're going to stay. I mean, it was all of those things happening at the same time. It was major investments in the Niagara Falls State Parks to revitalize those, and a major investment in tourism that's increased the number of tourists coming to the area. It was 43 North and all the stuff we talked about with entrepreneurship. It really was not one thing. And if we had continued to frankly focus on, we just need one silver bullet, I think we'd still be where we were, 20 years ago. It really was, we have to build a place that people want to live and work. We have to invest in our future workforce and our education. We have to invest and support in innovation and entrepreneurship and support our key industries like life sciences and manufacturing.
So what's the next big thing? What's the next key development area that we have to put our focus on?
I would say the east side of Buffalo is the next big thing that we have to put our focus on. And I think this goes back to, again, we're on a great upward trend in the economy. There's lots of people who are benefiting from that. But we have to ensure that the part of our community who hasn't been able to fully benefit from the prosperity, which largely in our community is on the east side, largely a minority community, that they're able to participate and benefit in the revitalization. So I think part of that is the state is making a major investment in the Northland Corridor right on the east side. I think, frankly, that is the next big thing. I look forward to seeing the growth and reinvestment in an area, frankly, that's been long forgotten. That Northland Training Center will provide direct opportunities and is intended to primarily serve an underserved community by giving them the skills and the training and the direct connections to jobs and helping place them in those jobs. But it's also intended to be an anchor to revitalize an entire old industrial corridor and be the catalyst for redevelopment. So I think ultimately you will see a private sector and reinvestment in that area.
And what's the project that you're most proud to have worked on?
Oh, that I'm most proud of. I don't know that there's one. I guess I got to go back to, I don't think there's one. I have been so fortunate really through, you know, the work that I did at Empire State Development and the Regional Economic Development Council and Governor's Buffalo Billion, to be able to work on such an extensive portfolio of projects, which was so interesting to me because it was everything from 43 North is a major initiative to catalyze entrepreneurship, to standing up Buffalo Manufacturing Works, which was really a recognition of manufacturing is still our third largest employer. Predominantly small to mid-size, but they're a really important part of our industry sector, and we need to support them too. And so standing up Buffalo Manufacturing Works to be able to support our local manufacturing industry base, I think was really important. I was at the start of, I didn't get to see it through, but you know, choosing the site on Northland for that workforce training, I think was really important. Working on things like the Better Buffalo Fund, which are, you know, more community development activities, mixed use redevelopment, all of those things. I mean, I think one of the other things that going forward could have a huge impact on our community is frankly NFTA expansion to North Campus. You know, young people increasingly want connectivity. They want access to metro, alternative modes of transportation, and you know, that's something we should have done 35 years ago, but we now have an opportunity to do it and do it right. And at UB, we just launched a planning study to really look at our future across our three campuses of how do we want to build more innovation spaces that facilitate collaboration amongst our faculty, our students, and companies. And if Metro comes to our North Campus one time, that'll just increase that connectivity and engagement.
All right. Okay, now we have a blizzard round for you, a couple hard-hitting journalistic questions for you to finish off on. If you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
If I was a flavor of ice cream, what would I be? I don't think it's a flavor for me. It's a hot fudge sundae.
I'll take it. What's your favorite number?
Favorite number? 7.
7, okay. Text or phone call?
Text.
Bills or savers?
Oh. Bills.
Bills. Hiking or skiing?
Skiing.
And chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
Drumstick. No, flat.
All right. Last second change. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great to have the conversation.
All right, guys. That was it. That was my conversation with Christina Orsi. I hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure to go and rate us on iTunes. 5 stars. I think it's a very deserving podcast. of your 5 stars. I know you'll only get so many. So rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, follow along with the blog. And I think that's about it. Look out for the next podcast in 2 weeks. We will see you then. End of podcast. Bye, guys.